of the guys in book club, his family's got a place in Mystic, and it's just unbelievable. So nice. And then Saturday, a little fire pit in the first fire pit of the fall in the backyard. And then last night we had some family over. So I'm definitely a little tired this morning. Matt Royce is off. Joey Burgoyne on the other side of the glass. Good morning, Joey.
What's up?
Yep. Good weekend?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
All right, good.
Well, camping's counting down, so it's kind of sad.
Sad, but those mornings are cooler. Although, this morning didn't feel too chilly. It actually didn't feel too bad at all.
That wasn't bad.
No. We got Jill Schlesinger this morning. We'll talk about the rate cut, what it means for you and your wallet and real estate. Senator Richard Blumenthal will join us. We were supposed to talk to Congresswoman Johanna Hayes this morning, but her people felt, and she felt, that a lot of the topics on the table merit a little more than 6 to 10 minutes. So she will probably not this week, but next week come in for a whole hour. We have George Logan coming on midweek, and he's been offered a whole hour as well. And the 5th District obviously is massive, massively important race, both locally and nationally. It's been targeted. I mean, you've seen the ads. They're on every 5 seconds on TV. So that race is a big deal in terms of the balance of power in Congress. And Allison Cross will join us from CT Insider. Really interesting story. You know, we're focused so much on phones in schools that we're sort of ignoring the vaping issue in schools. And so there's one school system that's trying to address it. And very interesting stuff. Because, you know, basically, I mean, you may or may not know it, but I mean, if you want to do nicotine or THC, you don't have to smoke in the boys' room. You can vape in the boys' room. And it doesn't really smell. And it's more of a problem than people think. So Allison wrote a really nice piece on it. And, of course, the Connecticut Business Blend every Monday morning at 8:50 with Greg Bordonaro. There's a poll out this morning. You know, obviously a lot of focus on presidential politics. And my private conversations on the weekend, a lot of people want to talk about North Carolina. And we don't know necessarily how much the impact of the Republican nominee for governor, the lieutenant governor, and Mark Robinson, and all his controversial statements in the past, and what's going on with that. But according to the New York Times, Siena poll out this morning, Trump's got leads in three pretty important states right now, and one of them particularly, if you're a Republican and a Trump supporter, is encouraging. Arizona is now 50-45 for Trump, and Georgia 49-45 for Trump. And that's basically, I think, outside of the margin of error. So those are legitimate leads in those two states. And Arizona especially seemed to be surprising to the pollsters there. And then North Carolina is tight, but Trump still has the lead, 49-47. So in terms of, you know, the Southeast and the Sun Belt, it looks like, and I don't know the number crunching. If Trump wins Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, does Harris have a path still? I think she may, but a lot of people felt on the flip side, if North Carolina fell into a Democratic win, which it's only been once in like the last 20 years where that's happened, then that could be trouble for Trump. So the polls are the polls, right? You focus on the trends. I mean, the Real Clear Politics national poll, you know, has Harris, you know, expanding to about a 2.2% lead. But everybody I talk to says that number, if she's going to really win, has to be closer to 4-5. So we are obviously, you know, like a month and a half away. So we're getting closer to that big day. Some other things up for bid to talk about this morning. I actually talked to some people who went to the Big E on Saturday, and the numbers of people there on Saturday was insane. And I'll give you, maybe at 6:20, I'll give you those numbers. And it's actually potentially turning into a not necessarily a net negative, but the with crowds that big, the experience maybe isn't as good as it could be. And so I think that maybe there should be some thoughts about how to deal with that. Some of the images you see on social media of the crowds, I mean, it seemed like it was like a victory parade for a sports team or something. And I want to get into the New England Air Museum, the DJT stock story I continue to follow, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
And now sports with Brian Shackman from the Cordell and Cordell Sports Desk.
You got some football, of course, baseball winding things down or heating up if you're a playoff team, and some WNBA playoffs as well. Sunday night football, really fun day in the NFL, and a really good matchup if people don't really understand how talented the Atlanta Falcons are. And of course, the Kansas City Chiefs are twice defending champs. So Patrick Mahomes, he had two touchdown passes, not playing like awesome football, but still playing really well. But it was basically the defense for Kansas City, something you don't really think of, that made the difference in Atlanta.
Long count. They give it off. Bashaun Robinson hit in the backfield. He goes down. Kansas City holds on downs again. Nick Bolton scrapes to the outside and makes the hit. And Kansas City defensively holds on downs. Fourth down at the 6 and now the 13. And preserves a 22-17 lead at 51 seconds to go in the game.
Two times in the fourth quarter, they stopped Atlanta on fourth down. So Kansas City now 3-0 with a 22-17 win. Actually, you got a busy day. You got two games from Monday Night Football. You have the Bills hosting the Jaguars at 7:30 on ESPN and Washington visiting Cincinnati 8:15 on ABC. So a lot to watch. I'll just run you through some stuff with the NFL. Obviously, the Jets and Patriots played on Thursday. Jets beating the Patriots. The Giants, they beat Cleveland on the road, so a really nice win. Daniel Jones connected with Malik Nabers twice in the first half. They actually scored all 21 of their points in the first half. They went 21-15. You have Green Bay on the road in Tennessee winning 30-14. Colts beat the Bears. The Vikings, they beat Houston 34-7. And the big comeback win for Philly on the road in New Orleans. Steelers beat the Chargers. Justin Herbert, still that high ankle sprain hurt again. He did not finish the game. Broncos over Tampa in Tampa. Andy Dalton, three touchdown passes, replacing Bryce Young as Carolina beats the Raiders in Vegas. Seattle's 3-0. They beat Miami. Dallas loses again, 2 weeks in a row at home, this time to Baltimore, 28-25. Rams absolutely stunning San Francisco late, 27-24. Lions beat the Cardinals. In baseball, the Red Sox, yeah, the games don't mean a whole lot, but if you went to Fenway yesterday, you had a good time. Tristan Casas, a career day, 3 home run games, 7 RBI. They beat Minnesota 8-1. The Yankees, now listen, they get some breathing room on Baltimore. Yankees are playing really good baseball. They beat Oakland 7-4. Aaron Judge went yard, so did Gleyber Torres and Jason Dominguez. Now they have like a 6-game lead heading back home where they could close out the American League East in this series against Baltimore. Here's manager Aaron Boone.
We're focused. You know, I think everyone in that room knows what's at stake and what the mission is and where we're at in the calendar and the opportunity in front of us. So I think guys are ready to just do what we got to do to win ball games and give ourselves a chance come October.
As up and down as it's been for the Yankees, they're still right now a 92-win team. Really impressive. Equally impressive, the New York Mets, 2-1 win over the first-place Phillies. They are still in a good spot here. They're tied with Arizona for those second and third wildcard spots, and Atlanta is 2 games back. I want to talk about the WNBA playoffs really quickly. The Connecticut Sun, they win their first game against the Indiana Fever. Really nice win for them at Mohegan. They'll play again on Wednesday. That's your morning sport. A couple other stories I'm keeping an eye on. You know, I didn't know that there was some job numbers for August for Connecticut that came out. I'm reading in CT News Junkie. There's a loss of about over 2,000 jobs in the month of August in Connecticut. So there's 13,000 more jobs year over year, but it was the first net loss, monthly net loss in a long time, at least for this year. So a lot of people, and we'll talk to Jill Schlesinger at 6:20, you know, with that 50 basis point rate cut, you know, 0.5% was, most people thought it'd probably be a quarter. There's real, and you see that number, like that labor number in Connecticut, there's real concern about a slowdown now and what that means for the U.S. economy. And I'm pretty fascinated by what Jill will say in terms of the interpretation of the rate cut, because is it sort of, I don't know, is a little more worrisome than we thought it would be? And we'll get Jill's take on that. The other thing, I don't have a lot of that. I haven't read in too much into it, but I do want to talk about it a little bit later because I saw the story over the weekend, and you know, I guess by volume, and it's ironic based on my weekend, that alcohol consumption is continued to go up in Connecticut, and the numbers are, you know, the pandemic is fascinating because Connecticut in general, 7.5 million gallons of alcohol in 2021. That was the largest consumption year on record for Connecticut. And then it went down just a tiny bit in 2022, but it's still pretty high. But we still don't drink as much as we used to. I mean, you know, in terms of per person, I think is the net of it all. But the pandemic really changed things, didn't it? I think that's sort of the broad takeaway. Also, I did want to point out, and we're going to take a break in a second, but, you know, we talk about the economy and as it relates to the election, and you know, in terms of polling, you know, Trump polls better as it relates to the economy. There's, you know, obviously whether perception or reality, the perception that this current administration is not as good in terms of leadership with the economy. And, you know, obviously it's more expensive in so many different areas, even though general inflation's come down. You still go to the supermarket. It still is, you know, I go to the deli counter. It definitely feels more expensive. But gas prices now, I just want to point out in Connecticut, it's $3.15 a gallon. There are 15 states right now in the union, according to AAA, that on average are below $3 a gallon. And so that's pretty significant when you think about where we've been a couple of times over the last, you know, 2 years. We'll take a break here. It's 5:54.